It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The naming of a new concertmaster for Orchestra Iowa in Cedar Rapids has been getting international attention. Dawn Gingrich is an accomplished musician. She's performed as a soloist in Paris, Barcelona, Germany, New York, all over the United States. She's also served as a guest concertmaster at a number of fine orchestras and won many prestigious awards. But the thing that grabbed international attention is her gender. Iowa Public Radio Classical Music host Barney Sherman is here to help us understand why that matters today. Hello, Barney.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And you've written quite a bit about women in classical music and gender parity or lack of gender parity in classical music. How notable is it that Orchestra Iowa has named a woman as their new concertmaster?
Well, in the context of Iowa, it is par for the course. We have six regional orchestras in Iowa of note, and Dawn is the fourth of six to have the concertmaster position be female. So it's kind of old news in Iowa. Internationally, if you look at the string sections of, say, American orchestras now, we have complete gender parity. There are actually slightly more female violinists than male ones in our major orchestras, but the concertmaster position is the kind of senior position. It's the first violinist, principal violinist, second only to the conductor in sort of authority. And a lot of them are veteran players, so we still haven't seen that kind of balancing in that position nationally. In Iowa, definitely, yeah.
So why do you think that has changed more rapidly in Iowa?
I don't totally know, but I think it may have more to do with the seniority thing. I'd say that in 10 years, it'll be like this everywhere else. It's obvious now. I can tell you why it's changed in orchestras as far as the number of female violinists. There's some really interesting research on it, Charity.
Okay, yeah, tell me about it.
Well, a couple of really fascinating economists named Claudia Golden and Cecilia Rouse looked at this topic over many decades, and they got all the numbers in. They did really careful analysis. Part of the reason why the representation of women in the violin playing professional classical field has gone up is partly just that more women are actually taking demanding high level professional careers, but it's also because orchestras in 1969 in the U.S. started using blind auditions, where the person auditioning is behind a screen, you know nothing about them. So suddenly you didn't know what gender the person was. Well, that increased the acceptance of women by, get this, 50%.
Wow. So it's not an affirmative action kind of thing. It's that there really was a bias.
Exactly. In fact, this was instituted because of a racial discrimination lawsuit against the New York Philharmonic, and this was part of the settlement. But the real effect, notable effect, has been in the representation of women. Yeah, it's not affirmative action. Women just really play the violin really well.
So what about female conductors? Has there been progress made in that field?
There has been progress made, but it is slower because, of course, conductors cannot do blind auditions. You have to see them standing up in front of there. And also because the conducting profession was tied in with the culture of leadership, which was very male-centered. You know, I mean, 100 years ago, women were disenfranchised. They couldn't even vote, much less become CEOs or presidents. So the opening up of that profession to women is happening as we speak. And I think the golden age of women conductors is probably about 10 years from now. A lot of women are coming up through the pipeline. Some are attaining the top, like Marin Alsop in Baltimore. But I see many very talented women in their 20s and 30s. Usually conducting, it takes about 20 years of actually doing it in front of orchestras to reach your full stride. So look for that.
How about in composition?
Good question as well. I'd say right now is the golden era of female composers. There have been some great women composers going back centuries, but they've been a small percentage of the total. Women were very much discouraged from being able to pursue that career. It was much harder than, say, writing poetry or fiction. We have some of the greatest poetry and fiction has come from women certainly from the 19th century, but that's something you can do in private. Composing music is a social kind of thing. You have to get other people to play your music. That's happening now, and the Pulitzer Prizes are increasingly going to women, and the exciting music being written now is increasingly by women. So, yeah, 10 years from now, we should see a lot more parody there as well.
And we'll introduce Don Gingrich here in just a moment, but Don's father is the principal French horn player for the Chicago Symphony. Is that a common occurrence where positions like this, roles like this, tend to run in families?
I don't have any numbers on that. You'd have to ask Don about that. But I do think that it is true that with classical instruments, especially the violin, that is the hardest of them all, and you have to start at it when you're a child. So, yeah, it's probably the case that if you come from a family with music in it, you have a bit of an advantage.
I'm talking with Barney Sherman. He's a classical music host on Iowa Public Radio. He also blogs. You can find a lot of his work at iowapublicradio.org, and he's written extensively about gender parity in classical music and many other interesting things as well. And I want to bring Dawn Gingrich into the conversation now. She's just been named the new concertmaster for Orchestra Iowa in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, Charity. Hi, Barney.
Hi, Dawn.
Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful to have you, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, and I was just asking Barney about how sometimes it sort of feels like musicians tend to run in families. There tend to be very musical families in many different kinds of music. Can you tell me a little bit about your family and your path to being the concertmaster?
Oh, sure. Actually, both of my parents are professional French hornists. And so growing up, for me, music was always a constant throughout my childhood. I did start studying violin at the age of 3, and I was constantly exposed to lots of great concerts, and I was often set up in concert halls during rehearsals with a pile of coloring books. So I definitely was exposed to it at a young age, and I was so fortunate in ways that I probably didn't fully appreciate at the time to get to see Schulze and Barenboim conduct the Chicago Symphony, and it was really amazing. And looking back on it, I definitely appreciate it.
And do you remember what inspired you to start playing the violin?
Oh, my goodness, I do. I was 3 years old, and my parents actually took me to a concert where a very young woman was soloing on the violin, and she had a terrific dress on. And so that was really what stuck. And I thought, boy, that's the job for me.
So it's all about the clothes.
You know, it kind of is, yes. It all comes back to fashion. But yeah, it really stuck with me. And I was reportedly insistent on violin lessons after that experience.
And you recorded an album with your dad a few years ago. Time Beyond Me is what it's called. Can you tell me a little bit about the project?
Sure. It was really interesting. I can't even remember how it started. It just seemed like an inevitable project. There's very little chamber music written for horn and violin, and kind of the jewel in that very small crown is the Brahms horn trio. So it just kind of felt like we had to do it. We played it together many, many times. We loved doing it. And playing with him was incredible. When we actually recorded the tracks, I think I was 21, which seems like absurdly young now. And I think my dad was 50 or something. I don't. He's gonna kill me now. And just working with him when I was that young was an incredible education. He works harder than I think any musician I know. And so just, and I'd always been very close to his process. But just being that much closer was a really intense experience, and I learned a lot, and I hope to emulate him in my future career. But yes, it was really amazing. It was a lot of fun. It was a joy too. So
well, let's listen to just a little bit of music from that album.
Sure.
Just a moment from the album Time Beyond Me that our guest Dawn Gingrich recorded with her father back in 2008, a little bit of the Allegro movement from the Brahms Horn Trio. And Dawn, do you know any other female concertmasters? Was this something that you aspired to for a long time?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure exactly. I think my only sure goal over the years has been to be the most excellent musician that I possibly can be, and just work constantly on the craft. And this opportunity arose, and, you know, Orchestra Iowa is really a gem. Tim Hankowitz and all the musicians and staff at the orchestra are just really positive and really forward-thinking, and so when I had a couple trial weeks with the orchestra this spring, it occurred to me that this was a fantastic experience, and I really wanted it. So that was, I suppose, really the first time it was really on my radar. But I have been inspired by a number of concertmasters. In particular, actually, the former associate concertmaster of Milwaukee Symphony, Samantha George, has been a big influence on me, and she's an amazing leader and a high energy musician, so I've always looked up to her.
Now, I realize that musicians have to travel around a lot, and I know that you live in Chicago. Will you be moving to Cedar Rapids?
I will have a little residence in Cedar Rapids. I will probably have to divide my time a bit, but I look forward to spending more and more time in Iowa. And working with the school at Orchestra Iowa and just getting to know the community better and better.
What are some of your goals with Orchestra Iowa? What are you most excited about?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have such an exciting season coming up. Everything from the season opener. We have guest violinist Lara St. John coming. And she's so high energy. I just know that I was going to fall in love with her. She lights up the stage. We're also doing Beethoven Missa Solemnis, which has one of the most transcendent violin solos of all time. Ein Heldenleben, also another iconic violin solo. If you sense a pattern, I'm kind of looking forward to the violin solos. There's also an adventurous chamber lineup, and I'm just excited to hopefully get more and more folks turned on to Orchestra Iowa. It's really a gem. It's a fantastic orchestra.
In your mind, what are the main challenges that you'll face as concertmaster?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in terms of the mundane, I know I'm going to be spending so many hours sorting out bowings, which is, it sounds, you know, absurd, but we string players actually organize among however many of us are on stage, maybe 40, when we play up and when we play down. So I know I'm going to be poring over many scores. Beyond that, it is a leadership position, so there is a lot of that, and it's kind of my job to hopefully aid the music director's vision and communicate that to everyone in the orchestra as well. So I hope to be refining those skills over the course of the season. I'm really looking forward to all of those challenges.
And how do you feel about the role we were talking about, gender parity in classical music? And obviously women are more and more involved. There are more places where it's 50-50 or where you actually see more women musicians than men. How are you feeling as a woman in 2015 becoming a concertmaster?
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited for us. Just having more equality ends up enriching everyone. And, you know, I haven't faced any obstacles. Like, no one's ever said, oh, Dawn, you know, you're a lady. You can't be a concertmaster. Like, this never happened. You know, that said, I think that that has been my privilege. You know, I don't want to dismiss the very real struggles that, you know, previous generations of women have faced in pursuit of their ambitions. And, you know, it's just a cause for celebration that we're seeing more women in leadership roles in all industries, for sure.
Dawn, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you, Charity.
And congratulations again.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dawn Gingrich has just been named the new concertmaster for Orchestra Iowa in Cedar Rapids. Barney Sherman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Charity, and congratulations, Dawn.
Iowa Public Radio classical music host Barney Sherman, he also blogs. You can find many of his blog posts at iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Lindsay Moon, Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.